flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Yep, happy Friday to you. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Reginald Adetula hanging out with you, along with Figgy Fig. Let's see. John Heyman had a dispatch earlier today. Astros and Cubs are believed showing significant interest in Alex Bregman, with the Tigers and Red Sox amongst others involved. His longtime Astros team, also engaged at the start of winter, want him enough that they may move Paredes to second base and Altuve to left field to accommodate. So that's a recap of where the circumstance stands. Interesting that he said that the Cubs are believed to be showing significant interest still here. Are the Cubs just trying to make themselves Astros North? Kyle Tucker.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah.
They're the ones who are prominently discussed as possibly being the Ryan Presley destination at this moment, mm-hmm. should Ryan Presley agree to waive his no-trade clause. And then Alex Bregman potentially going there as well. Just
at this point.
They're going to port that up. Just like, hey, give me three of them.
Yeah. I'll take all those guys. Who else you got down there?
All right.
One of those.
Being greedy.
One of those two. Two of those. It's like going to the donut shop.
It's a lot. All right. Yeah. So there's that, right? There's all of those circumstances that could move around and shake. However, if none of that happens, right? If none of that happens and it's just you added Isak Paredes in the trade mm-hmm. for Kyle Tucker, along with Cam Smith, don't forget. Like, that's a nice young talent that possibly will make his debut, I imagine, maybe next year.
At some point, yeah.
At some point. You signed Christian Walker to play first base. You kind of solidified those things. You know, are you okay? Is this a successful offseason in your mind? If all of those things are the case,
I think if they do nothing else, it's been wildly successful. Actually, much more successful than I thought it would be. Keep in mind, we're going into the offseason sort of like, ooh, Fromber, Kyle Tucker. You know, what are they going to do here? Outfield, they, you know, pitching, of course. You know, who knows what's going to happen there. And then you just went through it. I mean, some of these players that they brought in, starting with Paredes and then Christian Walker and some of these other additions. It can't be anything but a successful offseason as it is by itself right now.
Yeah, even with the outfield looking the way it is, I mean, outside of the funky stuff that we've heard about possibly Altuve playing left field, you mm-hmm. would have likely Jake Meyers playing center. You'd likely have Chaz McCormick holding down right. And coming off of a tough offensive year, although if he found a way to have some level of bounce back towards or ultimately all the way to the 2023 production, you'd be happy about that. Left field, I mean, what are we looking at there? Are you looking at one of these young guys to come up and maybe give you something there in accordance with also maybe having Mauricio Dubon getting some time there? Like, that's been one of the concerns there. So that was kind of the way I was like, oh, I'm not sure. I still want that one more move to feel good about it. But I was interested because Fangraphs, a very good baseball reference, they put together their Zips projections, their projections for production this year. I mean, they do this mm-hmm. headed into every year. And I was kind of impressed with what came down, right? So they were talking about all of the things that changed with this team and how they get here. And when it comes to pitchers, they feel like the Houston's rotation is a real plus. And with the lineup, the Astros have done an impressive job finding new talent to replace. Obviously, you talk about the idea of having Framber Valdez, Hunter Brown, Ronel Blanco kind of holding down the circumstance of the rotation, with also seeing if you can get some added value and added benefit from having Hayden Wisniewski, Spencer Arrighetti, and then maybe if you can get something out of Luis Garcia and Lance McCullers, depending on how they return from injury. Like, they believe that that's a really solid rotation. Back of the bullpen, really solid as well, that they obviously point to. Josh Hader, as of right now, Ryan Pressly being there, Brian Abreu, Taylor Scott. The lack of the front part of the bullpen, that's one of the things that they point to as an issue. But when it comes to, like, the bats, a lot of good projections there. Outfield projects as average or better, according to Zips.
Yeah. Look,
I did not view the outfield as average or better, but according to the projections from Fangraphs, average or better there.
Now, the outfield is the one place where I have, and you should, Astros fans should have, a lot of concern left. Mauricio Dubon, you can't count on him as an everyday outfielder, I don't think. Yordan has been injury prone, and you don't want him in the outfield. And then there's Jake Myers and Chaz McCormick. You need something more in the outfield, no question about it. But when you look at the infield, that is a very, very... So I don't necessarily... I mean, I'm not going to say they're wrong. They do this for a living.
Specifically talking about Chaz McCormick and Jake Myers. Like, now, the caveats they have there is, you know, if Chaz McCormick doesn't have a bounce-back season, which that is not an entirely unlikely situation, right? Jake Myers, unless you see a defensive erosion from him, which, again... It's possible, but with all of those things, they go like, yeah, basically average or better. And I think that that means a lot, especially if you look at the way that you have reformed your infield here. And ultimately, they bring all of this together. And when it comes to the Astros projection maybe is not going to match the best teams in the NL, where you got some of them spending crazy money like the Mets and the Dodgers. But right now, they project as the American League's best.
Well, now that's a bit of a surprise.
One or two wins better than the Orioles and Yankees on strength of their spare starting pitching, which Zip sees to be better than the other two teams. Can you imagine that?
No, to be honest. But they're in a good spot. I think it's reflective of the, just how good an offseason they've had. You know, they top to bottom, you mentioned pitching. I'm skeptical about the outfield. I think most Astros fans are. But the infield is going to be able to rip the cover off the ball. I mean, they still have the bats on the infield. They still have the bats up and down the lineup. There's going to be some questions at the bottom of the lineup. That happens with a lot of teams, the questions up and down the lineup. So I could see where they get there from here, but maybe not to that extreme.
Yeah, that felt like that was kind of a far stretch, but that's what they have with your lineup being, you know, including obviously Yainer Diaz and Yordan Alvarez, Isaac Paredes, Walker, of course, Altuve and Pena. They have Trammell in there, and one of the things that I thought interesting when you start talking about kind of the young guys, Trammell obviously getting some time, maybe some Shea Whitcomb, and Mauricio Dubon. One of the young names that you have to kind of keep an eye out for is, you know, your young outfielder, Melton.
Oh, you're talking about, what is it?
Jacob Melton. Who's in the minor league. Yeah. Apparently projections isn't really sold on him. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things that I know some people were like, yo, watch out for this young cat. He maybe could possibly make his way up and be helpful. Right now, when it comes to projections, not, you know, underwhelming prospect with power upside and not a big plus defensively. Now, of course, projections aren't the end all be all, but I found that to be interesting. That not a lot of love for Melton there. But yeah man, I found that to be interesting that, hey, man, ultimately, projections wise, while I might still feel kind of little, I was happy about the way they were able to maneuver and turn quickly from the Alex Bregman situation. Outfield, I was still waiting on. Ultimately, projections still see them as one of the best teams in the AL, which I think that was the real question that you're asking. If the possibility of Alex Bregman goes, is that the window closing? Projections say no.
Yeah, no, and I get it, and it's going to be worth seeing, you know, how some of these younger players, Melton maybe in particular, you know, perform in spring training and the spring games. But, you know, there's still the whole Alex Bregman thing out there, which would change the outfield even more significantly. I do have a question for you and Figgy.
Cool.
And our listeners.
All right.
And I think we're all on board with the possibility of this happening. It would be certainly worth watching. It would be certainly notable. You know, we made the question of the day about, you know, things that you just can't let go of. But here's my question, and I want you to really think about this, and I'll lay out a couple of other things. Is it worth it? Is it worth it?
What is worth it?
to bring Alex Bregman back. And let me just kind of lay it out here for a little bit. We want him. We think he's still a stud. I mean, defensively, Gold Glove.
Correct.
Certainly, you know, his numbers are, I mean, his WAR last year was 4.1.
Still very good.
Which is very good.
Absolutely.
His RBI over the last 3 years have gone down. OPS over the last 3 years has gone down. On base percentage over the last 3 years has gone down. OPS plus over the last 3 years has gone down. That's not saying he's not a stud. He's not still a plus player because
I'm sure somebody's going to text in about the slow starts or whatever.
That's a factor as well. The one thing that has sort of, and we talked about this some last season, that is sort of maybe alarming is a little bit of an exaggeration, but sort of eyebrow raising. His walks are way down. His eye for the strike zone is where he's made his living.
Right.
I mean, his eye for the strike zone, he ultimately gets a good pitch to hit, and we all know what happens when that happens. I think we need to ask ourselves, is it worth it? Because if you bring him back, you're basically asking two players and getting rid of a third player to switch, to change. You know, like, if you bring Alex Bregman back, you're putting Jose Altuve in left field, reportedly.
Sure.
You're making...
At the very least, for a significant amount of time. It seems like... I don't imagine that he would be, like, stuck in left field. I imagine they might...
I don't know. He's aging, around. And maybe that's where he wants to sort of camp out, you know, for the remainder of his career. Then you got Isak Paredes going to second base.
Yeah.
Then you're getting rid of Ryan Pressly.
But Paredes has played at second base, and Ryan Pressly like
50 something games.
That's right. But I mean, yeah. Paredes has that utility and that versatility where I think that he is comfortable moving around.
Right.
I don't think that that's going to be as much of an imposition. The real imposition is moving Altuve.
Yeah.
That is clearly the imposition.
And then you're getting rid of Pressly.
Well, Pressly is something that he
now he is a little older.
He's a little older. Mm-hmm. He, the contract that he is under is to be a closer. Mm-hmm. They don't view him as a closer.
He's mad about it. He might want to move on.
And so I don't know. Again, I don't know how much that ends up being an imposition. The real weird thing is just moving Altuve off of second base. And I do wonder, is that something that remains permanent? Because, well, I guess it kind of is. Like, he's up there. But remember, Christian Walker is a relatively short-term deal.
Mm-hmm.
It's 3 years. Is what you sign him to.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could still be in a place where Isak Paredes, depending on how long you have him or what have you, this is a short-term deal until you have that next guy and then things can kind of move back around. Altuve, honestly, we probably need to have a tough conversation about Altuve aging because you start talking about Bregman.
Oh, he's going
to
be 35?
Right? One of the reasons why the idea of moving him to left field is that even some of the things that we talk about, it's tough to move him out to left field.
Mm-hmm.
It's tough to have him at second base if we want to be completely honest. Like, the range, the arm at second base is already becoming a problem. So, like, it's sacrilege, but, like, at what point do you need to start having some level of attempt to phase out the impact and the import of Jose Altuve, understanding that his bat still gives you stuff?
Look, nobody here doesn't want it to happen because I think it'd be very intriguing, very much talked about, and maybe keeps that window open a little longer. What I think we have to ask ourselves is it worth it because of not just the slightly declining numbers that we've seen over the last 3 years? Alex Bregman's going to be 31. Jose Altuve, I think, is 34. Alex Bregman's going to command, a 5 or 6 year contract. What's the end of that contract going to look like? You know, this is a short term sort of let's keep the window open type move.
But that feels like that's exactly the type of move you need to be making.
Because
if you're not keeping the window open, what are you doing?
Some people might fall in line with absolutely it's worth it. We're still in the hunt. You just went through the numbers of they're still considered at the top or near the top of the American League. So, you know, I'm not going to say it's not worth it in the short term, but is it something that is going to work? As you mentioned, Altuve in left field and Paredes moving and certainly aging Altuve, aging slightly less, but still aging Alex Bregman, 6 year contract. Is the last 2 or 3 years, you know, of that contract going to be, sort of just a tip of the cap? You know, a lifetime achievement award, so to speak.
And that's probably why you had such a staunch stick at, hey, 6, we're not going any further. But also, this is where we start talking about the intangibles, the unquantifiable portions of this, of being the flag bearer of the Astros kind of way of having that kind of cultural impact that Alex Bregman clearly has for this team. Right. I think that those things add value as well. Going back to like the imposition that you're talking about, when you're talking about that that worth it aspect, right? Moving Altuve to left. Fair point made on the YouTube says, we keep saying Isak hasn't played outfield. Neither has Altuve. They should just move Isak's ass out there. I think that that probably is something that you give a try. You give some level of testing to early on in spring training to see, hey, is this the better option? Understanding that, yeah, Altuve has raised his hand, but see if you can find something that works to that degree where he can play left field and boom, there you go. Maybe you've had your solution there. I don't know. But yeah, man, I think there's. I think it's still worth it, man. I still think it's...
For the short term.
It's still feel. I mean, yeah. And again, the short term consideration is what you're considering right now, right? The long term, I hate to say it like this and be like cavalier. The long term will determine itself, right? Those back end years, I don't even know if it's reasonable to expect you to be in contention after having a window open for 10, 12 years, right? So at that point, yeah, you might have to be eating some money and finding ways to kind of retool. But yeah, that's cool. The back end will pay for this front end where you still give yourself an opportunity to be competitive. Because as long as you have the opportunity, it feels like you have a responsibility to push for it.
Look, there are some people that are taking the other side, you know, talking about how Bregman, you know, it's not worth it. Several people coming in with that. I don't know. I'd love to see it. Just as a fan, I'd love to see it for sure.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you hanging out with us on this Friday. Somebody said Cardinals fan here having your star boo first of all having your star players rapidly decline while under contract kills your team pretty quick. I get it.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, here we go. We have you were begging for it, and it seems like the Texans have given you your answer. The Texans have parted ways with Bobby Slowick, according to the Houston Chronicle. And also, they have parted ways with Chris Strasser. The Chris Strasser one is the obvious one, but there you go. There's the official answer. We were wondering if they were going to have the gusto to move on from Bobby Slowick, if there was going to be too much familiarity, but it seems like the Texans have made the decision. Boom, Bobby Slowick, no longer the offensive coordinator of this team. All right, so that's clearly the biggest news of the day. We're about to go to confessions, but the confession is we need to talk about this. So coming up next in the loop, let's have more conversation about this breaking Texans news. Bobby Slowick, no longer the offense coordinator of the Texans. We'll do that next.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, don't call it a Friday news dump. The Houston Texans have made some personnel changes. Your man, D'Amico Ryans, let you know on Monday that those changes, like they were going to take the week. And they did take, they took 4 to 5 business days.
He was accurate.
And on Friday, they let us know that the Houston Texans have parted ways with offensive coordinator Bobby Slowick, offensive line coach Chris Strasser, and assistant offensive line coach Cole Popovich. The big news of the day, Bobby Slowick is indeed out as offensive coordinator of these Houston Texans. And a lot of people on the text line, on the YouTube, on the Twitch, all of those are ways to feed in, have conversations about this. Really surprised. I think that's the prevailing kind of sentiment that I'm seeing first and foremost, is surprise that the Texans actually had that level of urgency, that level of, I don't know, commitment to being great, that they were like, look, man, that was not sufficient. Thank you, Bobby, for your two seasons of work here. However, we want to move in a different direction.
All right. So let's dig into how this happened, what it means, and what it means going forward, especially with personnel on the offensive line. But let's start right here. Long live the king is dead, long live the king. People immediately are going to be going, all right, who's up? What's the next offensive
next
coordinator?
Man up, next yeah, man ne- up mentality.
Next quarter, coordinator going to look like? Be very clear about this. This had to be one of the most, if not the most difficult football decisions that D'Amico Ryan's ever made. When I say they were close, they were close. They were close. Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryan. So what that tells you is, obviously, they always say it, and it always comes true. This is a business, and he had to make a business decision. And they understand they have a quarterback on a rookie deal. They have very expensive offensive linemen. We'll see about what happens with there.
Yeah.
But they've got very expensive offensive linemen.
Yeah, and you did, and that's one of the things that I've been looking at. Yeah. Changes clearly need to happen on that offensive line. However, it's not going to be an easy situation. You have expensive offensive linemen that are also not they're not up for those deals to be over within the next year or two. You've got guys that are locked in, relatively locked in, which again, you can lay at the footstep or the doorstep rather of Nick Caserio, but that is still the circumstance. In your favorite parlance, it is what it is in that regard. And so you have posited this in some ways in trying to kind of think around the circumstance of the coordinator decision of, is it either the offensive coordinator or the offensive line? And sometimes I don't think it always has to be a binary, but if you were to view it as that right now, they chose, it's easier to move on from the offensive coordinator, offensive coordinator who had an offense that was promising that then regressed in year two. You saw regression in some ways from your quarterback. And I feel like that probably all came out to, this is not sustainable. Plus, you saw them had to change the way that they ran the system. They literally moved away from Bobby's system and saw better results, including with that offensive line where they were able to block up to the second level and you were actually able to run the football on a Kansas City Chiefs team that admittedly has not been running stopping the run as well in the second part of the season. But again, that was one of the better performances, and I imagine that that's got to put in your mind somewhat, well, if we move away from Bobby and we find, or what Bobby wants to do, and we find a little bit of success with the guys that we've put in there, guys that I imagine they evaluated and felt had something, and you find that they're doing better in a different system, I imagine that also probably factors in a little bit.
All right, so as this is happening, immediately four things come to mind that I think are important for our listeners
to
know.
Let's just go stream of consciousness.
Stream of consciousness. This is a personnel passing thoughts, if you will.
Hit the music, Figgy.
You don't need to do that. With a little bit of just, not just observation, but just sort of insight on what's happening over there. I can tell you this. Let's start with the decision itself.
Okay.
And I'm not reporting this. This has all the markings of Cal and Hannah. They picked their spots when they're going to go ahead and be intimately involved.
Yeah, we've given them a lot of credit for recognizing when to empower your people to do things.
Yes, that's number one. Cal and Hannah, they came in, they picked their spot when there were other head coaches that were being rumored and reported to come to Houston, and they picked their spot and said, no,
D'Amico's the man.
They said Meek.
So you think they have a say-so in this?
I think they have a say-so in this. And that's not like, they hated him or, this or that.
Okay.
I think they're feeling what I'm talking about. They're feeling this is our time, the whole rookie quarterback thing. We've got money invested, not just in the offensive line, but in the wide receiver position. Nico got a new deal. They want to sign Stephon. They got Joe Mixon.
There's
they
noise.
Got all these guys.
Right.
This is our time. It's time for us to get involved in this type of decision.
Right. There's not just noise, not just from us, right?
Yeah.
Like not just the folks bloviating here on Sports Radio 610, but national outlets looking at this and saying, yo, this is a poorly schemed thing. There's instances where, this is bad, this is whatever.
Yes.
Somebody on the text line very rightfully pointed out, JJ was criticizing blocking with the tight end.
Sure.
In some of those instances in big time moments where you have a defensive end being picked up by only Dalton Schultz, right? Mm-hmm. This thing had gotten loud. Like, I think that there was a lot of people talking about this as well. And we know that they, not that they have rabbit ears per se, but that they're also not completely immune to what is widely being talked about in the NFL world.
Here's another one that just immediately sort of passing thought on this. So I feel like Cal and Hannah, I'm not saying our way or the highway, but I feel they were deeply involved with Nick Caserio and D'Amico Ryans and had a say in this. I think they picked their spot and they picked this spot.
I could see that.
Number two. Everybody in that building knows what the relationships really are like with coordinators and players, coordinators and your franchise quarterback. C.J. Stroud has said nothing but good things about Bobby Slowick. I think C.J. Stroud really likes Bobby Slowick. I think there is a level of frustration that they know about. I think. I'm not reporting anything. I think there is a level of frustration that they know about. C.J., and I said this, I think, Tuesday, yes, maybe Monday.
You weren't in Tuesday, remember?
Oh, that's right.
That's when you did five barrel rolls and you ended up in a ditch.
Must have been Wednesday. I said this week. You can just sense that CJ in year two, he deserves and has earned the right to have more say in how they're doing things offensively, what he's doing and the adjustments and things they're doing in game plans and in game management. So I'm not saying CJ went in there either and said, oh, he's got to go. No, I think they understand CJ is his ass is out there. He's got to have a better sort of back and forth with it's not my way or the highway. Let's talk about this, you know?
Sure. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, CJ, at least he said the right things. If he had any level of different sentiment, I can't speak to that. Mm-hmm. But he said that, I mean, he pretty outrightly said that he would like to continue working with Bobby Slowick. So I'm wondering like what that dynamic is there. But I think there is some fairness to you would like to see him better integrated into the designs of what is happening here and what makes him most comfortable. Because I think you are when you have a young quarterback. Early on, you're trying to determine, is this our guy? Mm-hmm. That answer has been settled. He is the guy, and he is capable of doing it. Now, what can we do to best fit what he does? And it felt like, I think it's easy, the layman can look at this Texans team this past season and see, it didn't feel like you did enough to fit what he does well, and maybe you need to have something that is tailored better, not just to all of your talent, but specifically to your quarterback.
Number three of my four passing thoughts that immediately I think are huge here. I still think offensive line decisions, tough decisions, are on the table. And one of the biggest reasons why, Reggie, I can't see DeMeco leaving this offensive system. He played defense for Kubiak, who had this offensive system and benefited from it. He played for Andy Reid, who has a version of this type of system. He went to San Francisco and was defensive coordinator, knows the Shanahan system, brought in Bobby Slowick specifically for this system. I'm not so sure that he's going to say, all right, we're going to go heavy, we're going to go big, we're going to double team the guards and tackles, and the defensive tackles and nose guards, and we're just going to change the way. I don't think that's necessarily the case.
And I think that the search might be somewhat similar to, and of course, like with some more accounting for who you have personnel-wise, that's clearly one of the things that burns mm-hmm. you is like, hey, making sure you match who you hire to what the job is. I think that that's still going to matter. But I think also some of this is like matching who is out there and who is the best available for what you're trying to do. And I mean, you might find a little synergy with, not that I've done all the digging on all the possible names, but I know that there's been a lot of buzz around Nick Cayley, who is one of the guys that was brought up in mm-hmm. various things, including the Jet search, right?
Yeah.
He is on Sean McVay's staff, obviously not coordinator and staff, you know, calling things there, but like he's part of the passing game. And that is a dude, you know, that Sean McVay is in that same tree, like that you're in that same vein. And he's a young, talented dude that is getting a lot of buzz. Like maybe that's the type of name that you're talking about that can maybe bridge that gap that you're talking about. But also, I mean, if there's another young, talented coordinator out there, you think they would take themselves away from that just to stay with the system? I'm not certain that that's the case. I think that this is going to be a lot more dependent on what is out there available for you. But it's good that they're getting into the market to where now they can have those kind of evaluations of, is this guy, is it just on the system, or is this guy going to fit what we're trying to do and then get in here and be able to work his magic, or be able to, execute, as coming back to that word, execute what a vision for this team.
And number four,
we're not bringing Gary Kubiak as offensive coordinator. Let him rest.
I'm just saying the system, and that ties in with my other big thought here in terms of what has happened and how it might play out and what happened behind it. They're also related. They fired Chris Strasser and
Cole Popovich, assistant.
And Cole Popovich, the assistant offensive line coach. Unless I'm missing something, we have not heard anything on Bill Lazor or Gerard Johnson. Keep an eye on those two guys.
Potential internal hires.
Keep an eye on those two guys.
That was going to be my next question. No. Do you think they hire outside or they keep it in-house?
I think they could obviously do either, but we haven't heard anything on those guys.
No, we have not. Yeah. And because... You can imagine, hey, do you clean the whole staff? And that was not what they did. They cleaned specific parts of the staff that, mm-hmm. you're right, that could possibly, you know, portend that you're going to have largely the same staff except for problem areas and hire from within to have some continuity. Going back to the Peyton Manning, what he was talking about yes. young quarterbacks and wanting to keep some level of continuity with what they're doing. Don't smile at me, show. Don't smile at me. I don't like what you're doing right now. Whatever you're doing right now. I don't even know what he's smiling about.
He wasn't the biggest fan.
But whatever he's smiling at me about, I don't like it. But yeah, the leaving some continuity. Peyton Manning has talked about this. I think he was talking within the terms of Bryce Young, mm-hmm. right? And how he didn't want to see continual turnover because with young guys, you want to have some familiarity and some continuity. That would be a way to have continuity either between Bill Lazor, who has been a offensive coordinator before.
Four times.
Not necessarily to a
Three
ton
times.
Of, not necessarily to a ton of repute, but, you know, mm-hmm. I think, boom, that is there. And then Gerard Johnson, who is clearly a hot name. He was involved in the hiring, you know, cycle last year. And this year, you've already seen his name come up.
Yeah.
At the very least with the Jets position, offensive coordinator position.
And I can tell you, Gerard, you know, I think most people know this, just from if you've been around this team at all, has a very good relationship with C.J. Stroud. Like, very, very good. So we'll see. I'm not saying either or, but I think it's telling that neither of these guys has been mentioned as being released.
Yeah, and maybe you find a way to keep both of them in somewhat positions mm-hmm. of elevation.
Remember, they're letting play out, you know,
right?
Sort of. Yeah.
No, of course, play out. Yeah. I think that that's an option. I think as you laid it out, you're very right. I think that is an option, and what you would do if you could find some level of marriage that works there is you would have a great connection with the quarterback, continuity, and a little bit of experience with Bill Lazor, although the question then that keeps coming back to, which is one that I asked earlier, which is, if you have some experience there, why did it not feel like it was showing up on the field? Like, those are the questions that I think you had for this team. Yes, Bobby takes the brunt of those, you know, of the responsibility for those, but I think that falls for the whole staff in some ways. Like, hey, why mm-hmm. are we not seeing some of those things implemented on game day if you do indeed have answers? I don't know, but we'll see. But ultimately, the biggest news of the day, we're starting here, right? We're starting with the fact that today, Friday, January 24th, Bobby Slowick, Cole Popovich, the assistant offensive line coach, and Chris Strasser, the head offensive line coach, were released, fired, I guess, in an indelicate way of saying it, from this Houston Texans staff. So that is what we're moving on from. Now it's time to cull together a short list or a long list of coaching candidates and go that way of seeing how you can get this offense back to the expectations, the heights that you had hoped when you put together a quote-unquote five-headed monster. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Somebody said they don't want to see promotions. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that.
Yeah, we will.
We'll take the weekend and really dive in, I imagine, in a big way. And next week, I imagine, now you're in the coaching cycle, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're
on the board.
You are on the board. Houston, Texas offensive coordinator is a job. Go ahead and get to Indeed.com or whatever to get you.
Just lead Chip Kelly out of this.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that, you being this. Selfish.
Yeah,
oh,
you damn right I'm being selfish.
You damn right I am.
I'm trying to take my players and coaches.
What did Chip Kelly do against Michigan? All right, coming up next, let's do our lunchtime confessions. We'll do it next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions on Sports Radio 610.
Watch this.
These are my confessions. All right. Typically, Lopez starts the confessions. He will start the confessions, but I just want to remind you, the confessions is happening right now because we had some breaking news here on Sports Radio 610, and that is that Bobby Slowick, Cole Strasser, and... Chris Strasser, yeah. Cole Popovich. I made them the same person. Those three gentlemen are no longer... they have been parted ways with. The Texans have parted ways with them. So the offensive coordinator, Bobby Slowick, the head offensive line coach, Chris Strasser, and then the assistant offensive line coach, Cole Popovich, no longer with the Texans as of, I mean, not more than an hour ago. Probably about 20 minutes ago is when we learned the news. And so, yeah, that's the big news of the day when it comes to the Texans.
And we're going to hit this in every which way as we continue today. And, of course, the drive as well is going to continue. This is enormous news. I mean, let's talk about, and we're going to get to confessions here. We're certainly going to give you some. But you talk about a turnaround. A 180. Bobby Slowick had his choice of jobs last year. Like, he had a choice of jobs as a head coach. And now is out and, you know, quite coming at you pretty fast there. In fact, my first confession.
These are my confessions.
I'm actually surprised, man. I really, like, in my heart of hearts, I didn't think they would do this. I knew there was going to be some changes, but I would have thought they would ride it out, make some personnel changes, and do that. But I will say again, this decision, I feel, was just collaborative. And that includes, and when I say everybody, to paraphrase D'Amico Ryans,
everybody
was in on it. Everybody was in on it.
These are my confessions. I guess we're just going to do a confession.
No, I got one about Ron the Show coming up that's going to tick him off.
No, I got more confessions too, but I feel like I at least got to get one off here.
Yeah.
Is when it comes to where they go from here, I got to confess, like, experience feels like it matters. However, because of just how it felt like the scheme did not match, I could easily still see them getting a young, relatively inexperienced coordinator. If that coordinator demonstrates like a schematic advantage, you know what I mean? But like, I naturally, me personally, I'm like, hey, clearly having not having experience, not being able to like fully command that room on that side of the football where you have a play calling head coach on the defensive side. Mm-hmm. I felt like that was a detriment, and that's probably something that's needed on that side of the football.
Yeah. And you know, some people will say, oh, not Gerard, because, you know, he doesn't have that. I don't mind that. I mean, that's a mini confession within yours. I totally get that.
Right.
I understand it. Now, I would want it, but that's beside the point.
Now, I recognize one of the people that falls in.
I get it.
one of the people that falls in with the description I had is someone like a Doug Peterson, and I don't know if that makes anybody's stand up. But hey, like I'm sorry. That was. You know what?
That's my job.
I'll put a dollar. I'll put a dollar in the book for that one. That was wrong. I'm sorry. I'm stopped.
These are my confessions. Speaking of the whole offensive coordinator thing, I got to confess, I kind of want to see them hire somebody outside the organization right now, man. And that's no disrespect to Gerard Johnson. I think his time is coming soon.
Yeah.
But I think right now, I think it's win now moment right now.
Yeah.
And I think you need to find somebody that was an offensive coordinator already that knows what they're doing, and let's go. Let's win, man. Mm-hmm. Because I think it's, I don't want to sit here and say Super Bowl or bust, but they got to get off the toilet, man.
Yeah.
We can't keep trying to get these 1 year people or somebody that never called plays before and trying to figure it out, man. Nah, you got CJ going into his third year.
Yeah.
We need to get to an AFC championship, man.
I totally get that. And I don't disagree. I understand it. These are my confessions. Now let's tick off Ron the Show Hughley.
Uh-oh.
So
show!
This is my confession. First of all, kudos to him for standing strong. And of course I'm cheering for the Bills. But Ron has become one of the bigger reasons I want the Chiefs to lose.
Hey, yo!
It's one of the, like, he represents like everything that we, you know, get irritated about, and he's representing it on our air.
This is what you guys do. I didn't say he didn't. I didn't say that flop. I didn't say he didn't. I'm just telling you, the whole league, all the quarterbacks are selling calls.
And I'm telling you that Pat Mahomes does it more than anybody. We just watched the playoff game. And everybody in America is talking about it.
You're talking about the one there. Yes, we're talking. You keep referencing that one. There are millions of other players doing it. That's fine.
Everybody does it. Everybody. You just can't come to terms with it and just say, hey, he flops.
By the way, in the mixtape, I'm gonna break all this down. It's a lot. It was a lot of stuff. Take in from this.
Oh man,
it was yesterday. Ron and Clint going at it. And again, I respect and understand backing your squad at all costs. Like, people, you're just blind faith, you know, blind allegiance.
See, actually, that'd piss off Show more than what you said prior.
No, he is.
He doesn't believe himself to be blind.
Oh, for sure.
All right.
Absolutely.
I'm just letting
100%.
You know.
Oh, no, he is.
I'm just letting you know.
I appreciate it, but, you know, hey, all of a sudden, he's a bigger reason as anything that I want to see the Chiefs lose.
You know me, I'm always down for a good schadenfreude, so hey, man, I'm good with it. These are my confessions. All right, I'm sorry. I'm going to be the dude who brings up baseball. I'm sorry. The baseball juices are flowing for me. What can I say?
It's baseball season.
It's about to be.
It's baseball season.
Here shortly. Hey, man. I know that the Dodgers just won a World Series. That, look, not everybody's happy about it. I get it. And I had already, you know, I was kind of on that. Hey, man, you paid a lot of money. Shohei Ohtani, you better get it done.
Mm-hmm.
He just got it done. And yet and still, I find myself looking with the Sasaki ad and everything. They added Kirby Yates. And I'm like, Yeah, you better win it again. I'm sorry,
oh,
dog.
Oh, for sure.
And it's the same urgency because they might, I can even still see them. You don't end up getting it done. Hey, dog, thanks for showing up. We want to go in a different direction. Oh, would that be unfair?
Right.
Sure. But, they might be in Ohio State territory where you're just getting so much talent.
Yeah.
And you are developing so much talent that you just got to win it, dog. And it's not fair. And I recognize that. It's not fair to Dave Roberts, the manager of the Dodgers. And yet and still, you have so much that if you don't win it, I'm laughing in your face.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, a lot of people say Super Bowl or bust or World Series or bust. They are World Series or bust.
Yeah. These are my confessions. So this happened, I want to say, when I was on vacation, towards the end of the year.
Mm-hmm.
I went to the drive-in movie theater, man.
Oh, really?
Which one?
I went to the drive-in. I forgot the name of this one, but this one is, I want to say it was right off of Clinton.
So it's in town?
Yeah, it's actually in town. It was like maybe 12 minutes away from my house.
Mm-hmm.
Went there, and it wasn't bad, man. Mm-hmm. It wasn't bad. This is my confession. I think I'm a little too old for drive-ins, though, man.
Nah, man. How come?
So we pull up and, I surprised the wifey. She was happy about it. She started packing blankets and snacks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And we get there and she was like, oh, let's sit in the trunk because I got a Jeep.
Yeah.
And so made a little bed and all that stuff to kind of chill.
Mm-hmm.
I was not comfortable, man. I was not comfortable.
You wanted one of them reclining seats?
No, I need some cushion, man. Like, that trunk was not comfortable, man. I couldn't really get cozy.
Y'all get one of those camping pads. You'll be set, man.
Man.
Why do I have to do all the stuff, all the
at
work?
At this point, I should have went to the movie theater, man.
Right.
Just snuck the snacks and all that stuff in.
That's right.
It is not comfortable, man. I was kind of going to, sit in the front seat and just kind of watch the movie there, but... She was like, oh, no, let's sit in the trunk. Let's open the trunk up.
Well, that's classic, man. That's what you're supposed to do.
Not comfortable,
not
man.
Everything classic is the way that you're supposed to do it. We have modernized. We have innovated for
there
reasons.
There have been inventions that get this
that's
better.
Right, man.
My back was hurting, man. My knee was cracking.
Yeah. Did you have to go over to the snack stand? Did you have to get out the car and go over to the snack stand?
No. See, we had the snacks with us.
You packed your own popcorn?
We packed everything.
Awesome.
Everything. But
that's how you're supposed to do it,
I had to scoot over towards the back. Like, to try to get the snacks, I'm just like, man, this is not comfortable. I couldn't even focus on the doggone movie. I'm like, I can't wait till this movie over.
Wait, hold up. From the 713, they have futon pads for trucks. When you say they, what do you mean? Like, at the theater?
No. It's got to be like they sell them.
Just period.
Yeah, because I was about to say, the last thing I'm trying to use is a rent-a-futon.
I'd rather use John Lopez pillow, man.
Well, don't get
that nasty
crazy.
Ass pillow.
That's what we call a callback. That was fantastic. I love that.
I got one more. These are my confessions. And it's more of a worry than a confession, or maybe it's both. If this Bregman thing happens, you know, and he comes back to the Astros.
Man, Houston sports going crazy on
going
a Friday,
nuts
brother.
Right
what?
Now. I'm kind of worried that it's going to be sad watching Jose Altuve in left field. I'm a little worried.
Man.
It's kind of...
Right?
It's kind of sad.
Like a washed up sad?
Like maybe like, stumbling around here, like, not making plays.
Like Hakeem on the Raptors.
Yeah. Boy, that... Woo. But yeah, it's... I mean,
are
look,
you...
It's kind of sad watching him a second here.
Well, it is.
I love Jose Altuve. I want you to understand that about me.
And a new position.
I want you to understand that about me. Please, I do. I love Jose.
I'm worried that I'm going to be going, don't do that to that
man.
Don't do that to that man.
I'd rather him be a DH for the rest of his career, man.
He doesn't deserve to be Willie Mays bumbling around out there, you know? And Willie Mays was an outfielder.
But that's something that
he bumbling around in second base, man.
And that's the thing is like it's tough because you have so many DH guys. Like these are good problems to have if you have all the guys, right?
Yeah.
Like if you have all the bats and you're just figuring out what is the right configuration of the bats. Good problem to have. I get it. But and the people have talked about, hey, just keep Yordan in left and have Altuve DH. And I'm like, yeah, but that makes me scared too. Because I don't like Yordan in left field having to do all that with the injury problems, but depending on how bad it looks.
Yeah.
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 So I'm not alone.
No, that's a clear. I immediately when I saw that, I pulled up Baseball Reference and was like, nah, I got to see what this looks like. By the way, Jose Altuve is like, even some of his batting metrics, like his chase percentage is bad. We know that. His bat speed is in the 15th percentile, which is not very good.
Ooh.
His hard hit balls is in the 11th percentile. Like, just the aging in general is a great point. But then I immediately looked up and his arm strength being a 7, and I was like, thankfully in left field, you're only really throwing to third and second, right? Because in a short left field, like, I was really trying to cope. I was really trying to find the things within myself. But no, you're not wrong. Like, that is there. Somebody said, move Pena out to left, sign Profar. Oh, well, first of all, Profar would play on the outfield. Second of all, he is an Atlanta Brave.
Yeah, he go.
Yeah. He is. Why aren't you putting Yordan at first? Because you signed Christian Walker to be a first baseman. I get you.
Yeah.
I hear you too.
Honestly, they would have probably tried to put Yordan at first at some point last season because they ain't had no first baseman.
Yeah.
Clearly, that's probably won't work out.
Yeah man. They are finding creative solutions to things, but it's real creative. It's one of those very creative.
That's one way to, you know, people kind of soft pedal. Like, oh, that's an interesting choice.
That is interesting.
That's an interesting
word.
Choice.
Yes. You will, if you don't know.
Shoes are new for you?
Yeah.
I get that comment all the time with my hair.
Yeah.
Oh, you're interesting.
That's an interesting look.
That's one of my favorite words. It doesn't actually, like, it can mean so many things that it might not actually mean anything.
Jose Altuve in left field. Well, that's a choice.
Definitely.
That's a choice.
Definitely a choice.
Oh, bless his heart.
All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. It's a Friday, typically a football Friday. We ain't talked a lot about the football that is coming up. So let's do that. What are the keys to each conference championship game? And maybe a little win because, lose because. We'll do it next.